we are now on to the discussion of operators' facilities reopen plan. So I wanted to touch on that because I think it's extremely important. I think I've kind of drilled this in it, and anyone I've spoken to one-on-one prior to me taking this position and then now having this position. The time is now. The time is now that we collectively, and most importantly, you all, start to really generate a mindset of how business is to be done going forward. I think Terry certainly touched on every super important topic earlier on the training. Accountability is at the forefront. I've spoken to many of you, and I've told you that the time is now for you to put yourself in uncomfortable situations in which you may have never thought you would ever be doing, and what I mean by that is, in the past when operations were just running smoothly and, you had your staff and everything was good, you'd be, not so much, I don't want to say in tune with your business at key points, but you might be in the office during lunchtime and so forth. The time is now to put yourself on the forefront, to advertise, to be the biggest advocate for your operation. No one should be any bigger of an advocate of your operation than yourself, right? Secondly, obviously, the program. But we have to change our mindset and how we do business. And, another thing with me is I'm big on energy. I really believe the energy you put out will dictate your profit, period. I really, really believe that. I've seen it. I've seen bad energy match bad energy, and businesses go wayside in months. I mean, you got to match the energy, or you have to lead the energy. I understand how, employees are going into the cafeteria on their lunch break and being stressed out and putting it on your back, right? I mean, you're there to obviously provide a service, and obviously you probably get the grunt of people's last email before lunch, right? I mean, most people go to lunch when they get that email, right? If they're not going on their strict time, they're going on that one email that set them off to now go to lunch. So therefore, they're now occupying your location, and they have an attitude. If you match that energy, trust me, no matter what you put in play going forward, the return isn't going to be maximized. You have to change the mindset. You have to be accepted, and you have to understand that people's problems aren't your problems. And that we all have our own set of problems, but we got to learn how to put them aside. I know prior to closing, and obviously you all know that I've been here for 18 years, I've had conversations, obviously, those where, you may have been frustrated, But we got to change. We got to change the mindset. I think it's so important. I think it's honestly the most important piece of being able to successfully resume operation and allowing you to maintain a self-sustained business opportunity. We have to have the mindset that we are looking to try new ideas continuously. If an idea is brought to your attention, whether it's by a sales rep, whether it's by a customer, or even if it's by yourself, failure, 100 failures and one time of success is all you need. And you have to be open with that. Will that cost you loss of product? Absolutely. Will there be some, wasted expenditures involved? Absolutely. But it's one of these situations where you got to go out fighting. You have to go out. I'm a firm believer. If you maximize all you can do, it's so easy to walk away from a situation. Like, it's legit so easy to be able to just walk away and say, that's all I had. I gave it all I had. But to cut yourself short by not maximizing the opportunities in which you can will always leave that distaste, show you not succeed or continue. So, I think that's vitally important, that we have to change the mindset first before even re-entering our operation. This is a fresh start, and that's how you should all look at it. I think going forward, we have to think simplicity. Let's not overthink the process of our product delivery. Whatever item that we choose or end up having to offer due to the population size in which we serve, we have to be certain that item is a success. We have to monitor our products. We literally have to know our cost to our profit, our cost to our sales price, to knowing our profit. That is extremely important. I know in the past so many operators were selling items and had no clue where their profit margins were. It's just not a good way of doing business. It's not the correct way. And in fact, sometimes when you dive into that, you find that you're swapping dollars, and then sometimes you can find that you're giving away a product for free and losing money. So it's important that when we look to reopen our facilities, I'm going to really, really, really stress to the field reps that we pay attention to our costs, to your costs, and to profits, because it's easy to get swallowed up with change. And certainly what we do know is during this time, increases of product it surrounds us. So, you know, I know in the past we've always heard, oh, you know, this population of people in my building will pay for that. I think sometimes in those cases, it may have been sticker shock when we played the catch-up game. So, you know, sometimes I say we blame ourselves because we've always kept products in the past so low that when we finally have been forced to make that price adjustment, it comes at sticker shock. And so someone who was used to paying, you know, 50 cents less for something a day and now is going to the register and seeing it 50 cents higher, it's more of a sticker shock. Yeah, they might gripe about the price, but you have to trust and believe, and we all know this, that gas station, that grocery store, and that any entity that sells that exact same item is at the same cost, if not maybe more. But it's the way in which I think in the past, and again, I'm not looking to go past, I'm talking future, I just want to go out the gate set up correctly. I want to be sure that we stand firm on our prices. If that requires us to speak to any building head when shall we need to open and let them know that these prices are post-COVID, I have no problem doing that. And I think it will be well expected and accepted when that time comes. I think another key piece to business is listening to those who want the best for you. And who is that? That includes the field reps. That includes myself. That includes the customer whom you serve. That includes the administration of our program. That includes the building authority who may tell you something that is not ideal in your day-to-day ways of handling business. You know, we have to transition these requests and these suggestions, the energy. We have to transition that and not continue to always look at that as a complaint, but look at it as to maybe a protection of your business. And so, you know, I just felt the need that I had to tell you all this and tell you that, you know, the energy in which you accept and you put out into your business will certainly be on the forefront of how you resume your operation. So just keep that in mind. And that's pretty much what I have there.
Israel, yep. Do you have a question in regards to Absolutely. What you just said? So you're talking yep. about pricing and how our pricing needs to be more in line with what the real pricing is. I, however, have a site that is very stubborn about that and doesn't feel that I'm entitled to the prices that are even still less than a gas station, and have argued since, not recently, but in the beginning now, we are in a different situation. But what about those situations where we have people who are like, no, wait a minute. We're providing for students, we're providing for these people, you don't have to pay this, so you should be like giving a lower price, argument number one. Number two, the prices, are the prices being changed in the vending machines and on our vending services that we provide? Because it's really hard to have a vending machine selling a drink for $1.75 and you're trying to sell the same drink for $2. Obviously, they're going to go buy it from the vending machine, which gives you, yes, you still get a cut of it, but it's not the same as if you sold them the $2 drink. So how, I think that is an issue that we need to look at, too, in regards to pricing across the board.
Well, to answer your first question, I would say this. The universal language is numbers, right? Universally. When you present numbers in which, in as you know, we've done in the past, it certainly changed the mindset of those that have initial opinions about the way business is being handled. And so with that being said, when we have our important pieces of the puzzle in place, and that goes for, obviously, our cost, our profit, our cost of doing business, our payroll, all of the numbers that support the bottom line, when we have that to present to anyone, it's pretty difficult to have anyone challenge our request. I've seen it. You know it. We've had these conversations. I've had to do this for a couple of locations in which ultimately we were able to have the price increase. You know, when we bring our stuff to the table correctly, in a manner in which is clearly legible and understanding to be able to view and understand and see, I think it changes the tone and also changes the perception, therefore allowing for any changes necessary. So with that being said, I'm not overly concerned with that. I think that's a case-by-case situation. And when we get to each facility, I would ask that every field rep work with each operator to be sure that we are right in line with today's pricing. Again, and that today's pricing is what surrounds the population in which you serve. So, obviously I know there's the mindset out there with some buildings that we don't pay rent, we don't pay these fees and so forth. Therefore, just by nature, our product selection offerings should be cheaper, but that's not the case. You know, as Terry alluded, and Nikki, I believe as well earlier, businesses are bellying up every day. Every day. I know for a fact, outside of just this program, I'm seeing it as well. So it's important. You know, people will gripe with change. Any change that ever occurs, people will always have a problem initially with. But then what happens? We initially just get used to this, and it's just a thing of the past. But again, it goes back to what I was saying with the energy in which we project out. So once we do reopen these locations, you know, you've got to stand firm on everything you do with your business and accept the good and bad. And also just, you know, your energy back has to be just with positivity. You know, if someone comes to you and says, oh my gosh, this wasn't this before COVID, well, you know, it's easy enough to say, well, yeah, certainly, you know, I understand. However, everything across the board has gone up, and hopefully one day maybe, you know, we can reassess our pricing and look to make adjustments. But it is what it is. I mean, and that's just it. If we play into the concern, and this is another thing, if we play into the concern of the naysayers, those that may potentially have an issue, and we don't do the things that we need to do up front to move forward, we will fail. It's just as simple as that. We will fail. So we have to just push the envelope and take on any challenges that come our way. And me personally, I'm always prepared for it. And, I think when I speak, I speak with logic. I speak with clarity. I speak with, an awareness of understanding both sides. And typically I've had, I don't know if you want to call luck, with just having mutual agreement established. So I'm not too concerned with having those conversations. As far as the vending machines, Tracy, could you maybe add to that response with...
Because realistically, our vending prices are not up to what things actually cost. There are no vending machines that I have come across in my travels across this country, as well as in this state, not obviously recently, but that are $1.75. It is $2 or more throughout the state, unless it is one of our machines. So I feel like you're saying, let's do our pricing. Okay, well, again, the average drink in a convenience store right now is $2.19 before tax and deposit.
Right.
But we're selling drinks out of a vending machine for $1.75, no tax, no deposit. But we're still paying the deposit and the tax on that. In a way, what's in the contract, you know, based on our terms. So here we go, like, okay, cool, I want to make the soda at my now establishment $2.25. They're going to argue, wait a minute, but the soda's only $1.75 in the vending machine. That's not fair. That's not right. Why? And again, that pricing isn't up to par with what the pricing is out in society today. And this pre-COVID number that I just gave you, the $2.19, is the number that it was in March.
Okay.
So I can address.
Yeah, I was going to say I have the price schedule in front of me, but you can, Tracy. I have it.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to address that. So Colt did miss a couple opportunities to increase vending pricing. In the DAS contract, they had to submit increases during a specific time frame, in which they did not. So, unfortunately, there were opportunities that were missed where they could have increased and did not. So, based on that, unfortunately, the pricing did remain where it was. During the new contract with Pepsi, prices have increased. The new 20-ounce, for instance, for carbonated soft drinks is at $2, and the 20-ounce waters, for instance, are $2. Gatorade is $2, and at so they have increased by 25 cents. Now, that's not to say that you can't charge more in your cafeterias. A lot of locations do charge differently than what is in a vending machine. It is all based on convenience. That is entirely up to you. I don't know if people are going to say, when they're standing in line in a cafeteria, that they're not going to buy a drink because they can get it, 10 cents, 25 cents less in a machine when they're standing in line and want to eat lunch. So you can still have an option, maybe upon occasion, upon a person, absolutely. I'm not going to argue that they might, but, you know, overall, I think people are just going to continue. So that really is up to you. But just to let you know, prices have increased. In the vending machine.
All right. So hopefully that will answer that. Looking at the time, I'd like to quickly move along with the agenda. Up next on this, we have federal funds for equipment repair, replacement, and new items. As you all know, I've asked the field reps to work with each of you on providing a list of items in which require repair, replacement, or an item in which you may look to incorporate in your business, in which you feel may increase your business profits moving forward. You know, this request comes by way of Brian's ability to offer VR dollars, in which are available, as VR services have really, you know, kind of halted during this time, allowing for our program to take advantage of these program match dollars. With that being said, Brian, would you like to touch on just a little bit more on those funds and the availability?
Sure. Fortunately, we were able to secure, through the federal reallotment process, about $1.2 million of funding. So where the Voc Rehab program had gone through some incredibly lean years, and we had to stop making VR dollars available to help support some of the allowable expenses that it could be used for in the Business Enterprise program, we're in a better position right now that we can look for some of those dollars to once again be available for the purchase of equipment for the vending facilities, for equipment repairs of the vending facilities, to help in many ways also shore up the Business Enterprises account. Because, you know, certainly as Tyrell gave an update on the budget for Business Enterprises, the year that we looked at did show fairly good numbers, but as I'm looking at the current trends of what's been coming in from the vending machine sales, there's definitely been a drop. The number of buildings that are closed, the whole fact that people aren't traveling as much, and therefore accessing vending machines that were, you know, placed into other locations where they may have otherwise gone and purchased the soda. We're definitely seeing significant drops there. So I think that utilizing VR dollars where they can be legitimately utilized to help the Business Enterprise program is going to be critical to help keep the BEP budget solvent. So in terms of equipment replacement, what I've asked Tyrell, he's asked for the field reps, and they're asking of you, is we need to look at, number one, what are our locations going to be looking like when they reopen, and what are the building populations going to be, and therefore what kinds of equipment would you need in order to cater to the type of business you might be offering in a population that may not be at 100%, it may not even be at 75%. So we're asking that let's look at what these businesses can offer as product that would be saleable and profitable for you, and then therefore what types of equipment items might you need in order to make those food offerings available at your location. In the same vein, we're also looking at from the standpoint of if something like the walk-in freezer is 10 years old, where in the past we may have just tried to keep repairing it, and each year it needs more repairs. I said to Tyrell, maybe it's time we just think about how much would it cost to have a new walk-in freezer or a new cooler or whatever, so that we're not throwing good money after bad, as the saying goes. So that would be what I'd offer to that.
Thank you, Brian. So with that being said, we are in the works with that, so I would just say, again, due to our restrictions of time, I'd like to move on to the reallocation of case rebate funds. Chairman Roberts had made the request to see if it was possible to have the case rebate dollars for over-the-counter facilities reallocated to those operators whom occupy over-the-counter locations. It's with the thought process that many operators currently are either closed or operating facility with minimal occupancy. This once-a-year payment could be of some benefit moving forward. Frank did reach out to us, in which we assessed those dollars and just kind of just to quickly talk on it. So before COVID occurred, we looked at those dollars that typically came directly into the agency through Coke. That amount for those over-the-counter facilities total rebate amount was $96,000. Out of that $96,000, $18,988 would have been over-the-counter case rebates. So that's approximately 19% of that income coming in. We have to certainly keep in mind going forward that there's going to be a drastic change in that number. However, if from my understanding, we are not opposed to granting this request. However, I think we would like to initiate a review of this each year, if I stand correct. Chairman Frank, would you like to briefly speak on that? And then Brian, would you like to follow that?
Yeah, I don't know if this requires a vote or if this is made something that we just visit each year, but we'll let Brian determine if the committee would have to vote for this to take effect for this year.
Well, this is Brian. I just want to be clear. We have not yet received the rebate from this year. I just followed up with Tracy again.
Correct.
And we're waiting. We are waiting to even see what that number is. Certainly, if the rebates reflect the vending sales that we're seeing that have definitely declined in the recent months since COVID, I don't know what that dollar figure is going to look like. So once we receive those funds, then we're in a position to calculate out for those of you who actually have location where those vending machines are, what would those rebate checks look like. I feel that having a motion that is passed by the committee, and just to remind everyone that actually only committee members can make a motion and vote on the motion, but if the committee were to make a motion and pass it, requesting that the rebates from those locations where they are, where they operate those locations, just like they get the vending machine commissions, they would like the rebate. I believe that, Attorney Norton made it very clear in his ruling that there was nothing in the regulations he saw that precluded the agency from doing that. He did conclude that there did not appear to be authority in the contract for us to directly divert those rebates to the operators. We have to be the recipients of those funds, just like we're the recipients of the commission. And then we submit those commission payments to be processed so that they then go to those individual operators. If you wanted to, introduce and pass up the motion to include the rebates in that for those locations, I personally feel it's a reasonable request, and especially since so many of you are not working right now, anything the agency can do to be of assistance to the individual operators, I think is the right thing to do, and certainly I would personally be in favor of that. If that helps, what I would recommend is that the voting members can contemplate if they want to make a motion.
So, Brian, hold on. Just, this is Shelley. So just for clarity, this will also, this would be an addition to, so will this be like a separate payment being issued out, or would it all be issued in one lump sum for people who have the vending commissions? That's one. And then number, and then, I'm sorry, that was a part one. Part two is, obviously, any payment coming in is going to have to be reported, correct?
Okay, obviously any income to your business needs to be treated as income. So if you
get
vending commissions right now, and that's treated as income, and then a rebate to get back to your business would equally be treated the same way because it's income coming into your business. But in terms of the first part, I believe that the timing of it is that unless the rebate and the commissions all come in at the same time in one lump sum, it could be processed at the same time. If the rebates come in separately as a separate singular check to the agency, then they would probably need to be processed as separate payments and not lumped in with like the fourth quarter commissions. That would be my guess. But since we got received the rebate checks, yeah, I can't really speak to that with absolute certainty.
Okay, so it, on the reports, it'll actually be filled in. If it's not a, it'll probably be filled in under like the other section that's on the report.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would at that time, once a payment has been identified to be payable, I would ask that you report that on the other for sure.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. All right. So moving along with that, we now talk about reimbursement funds for purchased parish product lost due to COVID-19 or Hurricane Isaac.
Hold on. It sounded like Brian was saying that we should make a motion.
Yeah, that is what I was saying.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Okay. Is there any discussion before I ask for someone to take it to motion? So would someone like to make the motion?
I make a motion.
Gotta be a voting member.
It has to be a committee member.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I make a motion.
Please just add a flag, just so we can capture for
Brandy.
The minutes.
Brandy,
okay.
Do I shall be second.
Okay, Shelley seconds. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed, say no. Any abstentions? Okay.
Just to be clear, I'm not certain what your motion was because nobody stated a motion. She said she made a motion, but there was no motion.
Sorry.
A word.
I think Brandy's got some background noise, so she was trying to be brief. Go ahead, Brandy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I make that motion to accept the reallocation of the funds from the federal dollars or the rebate.
From the case rebate.
Wherever they're, case rebate. There we go. Sorry,
trying
to do too many things at once, guys.
Hello?
So, okay. So,
to be clear, so since the minute's captured, Brandy, can I ask if this is the wording that you were saying, that you're making
yes.
a motion that the case rebate monies for the locations that are operated by the vending facility operators, that those case rebate dollars go to those specific vending facility operators. Is that what your motion is?
Yes, that is my motion, exactly.
That's what I heard.
Okay. So who was going to second that motion from the committee? Who seconded
Shelley, do you still second the motion?
Yes, I do second that. This is Shelley.
Hello?
All in favor, say aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say no. Any abstentions? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. So now we can move along on the reimbursement funds for purchased perished product lost due to COVID-19 and Hurricane Isis. You know, early on, obviously the agency and the program had looked to figure out ways to provide some kind of relief during the abrupt shutdown of COVID, and we were able to, in the past, early April, provide the $1,200 vacation pay, which was at that time the only option the agency had as a method of any financial assistance. So moving forward, we had received some guidance on the abilities to reimburse operators whom lost perished product that had been identified as being fully paid for prior to the loss of or the closure of their facility. With that being said, there were two options that we were looking to utilize in this reimbursement. One was going to be by our fund, the 35149, the program fund, for those operators whom we felt didn't qualify for VR assistance just due to their income levels and the requirements for a voc rehab case. So the second option was for those facilities who met the requirements of voc rehab to utilize voc rehab as a method to receiving some sort of reimbursement for lost product. With that being said, it has been of the thought process initially that we were going to be able to fund or reimburse operators through VR with direct payment based off the agreed and approved invoices that support the loss of product. However, one of the voc rehabs, and certainly Brian and Terry can certainly chime in behind me to clarify if I'm misspeaking, one of the requirements through VR is that you would have to have been an active case to be able to, I guess, receive an initial reimbursement directly. So with that being said, it doesn't mean you're out of the water, not by any stretch of the imagination. It just means that going forward, those that have the active cases open with VR, we are going to be of the mindset, and as a program, we are going to assess those lost invoices or lost product invoices and establish a not-to-exceed reimbursement amount. So what does that mean? In my world, it means that shall you have to reopen your facility anytime soon, or when you are required to open your facility, we would have had identified your total loss amount prior to your reopening. Therefore, if you lost $4,000 in product, VR will have an allotment amount, not to exceed amount, set up under your case to be able to instantly reimburse you. Well, I don't want to use the word instant, but reimburse you upon any invoice that comes against your balance. So it's going to be that set dollar amount, not to exceed limit for your case. And then, so say, let's say if you go into your facility, you start off and you have a $1,000 inventory. The minute you pay $1,000, you would submit that invoice to either, I believe, BP or VR directly, and they will reimburse you up to the limit in which you lost prior to COVID. Brian, would you like to add to that, or Terry, by any chance, if I miss anything?
Well, let me just, you know, the voc rehab program does have very particular restrictions, and obviously a person needs to have an employment plan in place before we can start authorizing. But whether we use the voc rehab dollars or whether we are going to use the unassigned vending income to try to help people reopen, this is all about reopening. So I just want everyone to frame the idea of your lost product is the product you lost at your location when it was open. When the day comes that you can reopen your location, you're going to need product. You have no product right now. So we need to time the money that we provide to the reopening so that you have, for instance, if you want, Tyrell's example, if you want $4,000 of perishable product at your location, when you reopen your location, let's assume for a minute we say it's in February that you're able to reopen your location, you have no product. It was all thrown away. So if you documented that you paid for this $4,000 of product and you had to throw it out because it perished, then we need to be sure that when you reopen, you have that same $4,000 of product available to you. So what we're looking to do is set up a methodology by which if we issue an authorization to you through VR, it says, You lost $4,000 of product when your site was open. Now you're back in business. You've reopened it. We need $4,000 back on those shelves and back in your freezer. Then we would set it up so that as you start replenishing your product, you'd be able to submit it a proof that you bought that. Let's say you bought $1,000 this week. You submit that, and then you get the reimbursement for the $1,000. That's what we're saying is the methodology by which we would have to follow it.
Thank you, Brian, for the clarification. Okay, so with that being said, I'd like to move on to the agenda, or BEP staffing update. First and foremost, I have to acknowledge myself. Me, I'm replacing Head Owens. In addition, we now have two new field reps, Jesse Toll and Joel Garcia. And in addition, we are looking to start the process of replacing my old fiscal administrative officer position as well. So I've been in touch with HR, and we are going to soon begin that process. And so hopefully that new employee will be on soon. I don't know how soon, but soon.
So who's doing your old job now?
Should can we pause the tape? That shows my commitment to the program, let's just say that. Certainly, I understand. And I certainly understood that this was going to be part of the transition, so it didn't catch me off guard by any stretch of the imagination. I think I was just lucky enough to be able to feel like I know enough to be able to juggle at this time. So it's been trying, but we're getting there, and I understand it. There's an end to it, so we're good. Like I told you, you got to keep smiling. I told you, you know, even in the toughest times, you gotta still plug through, and so that's what we're gonna do. So, all right, moving along with this, we have proposed dates. In 2021. Meeting dates are March 2nd, June 1st, September 14th, and November 30th, 2021. Chairman Roberts, would you like to resume this?
Yeah, I'd like to call for a motion to accept those dates.
I, Brady, make a motion to accept the dates for the fiscal year of 2021.
I, Jeff Farr, second it.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Perfect. Thank you. Moving right along, you can stay right on. NFBEI membership renewal.
Okay. Obviously, we heard some pretty important things from the National Association of Blind Merchants, and we'd just like to re-up what we did last year. Anyone want to make the motion?
I make a motion to re-up our
to re-up our dues.
Yes, to re-up our NAFTA dues. Continue to be a part of the blind merchants.
Do I have a second?
I second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed say no. Any abstention? Motion carries.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman. Okay, moving along. Schedule C's and retirement contributions. I just wanted to touch on this because obviously, well, they're due now, and I understand. But I think it's important that I shed light of understanding that we are in tough times. I understand that financially many operators are struggling to get by. I sympathize for sure. And obviously we all want to resume as soon as possible. But you know, there's some things, and obviously this has nothing to do with my need, but this particular responsibility in business, unfortunately, is a piece in which is a requirement much higher level than I think anyone on this call. You know, when you follow your Schedule C, it's what the IRS requires. And I know, you know, in times when we can't, you know, when our backs are against the wall and financially, like I said, there's nothing coming in, we have to still stay focused, because, you know, a big part of resuming operation is simply being in the position to resume, right? I mean, we as a program can certainly fight for your behalf to resume operation, but at the end of the day, you all have a business responsibility, which is a universal business responsibility, to ensure not so much your retirement contribution, but just the filing of your last year's business has occurred. Again, this is something that obviously through the program we require, but it's much bigger than this program. You know, failing to file a tax return runs you the risk of, you know, charging with tax evasion. I mean, these are just things that are naturally set in place that I don't believe have any COVID delayed responsibility. You know, it is technically a federal crime not to file. You know, I would suggest, and I guess all I can do is suggest to those that haven't, and many of you have, it's just please do all you can to take care of your end of responsibility. You know, your end of responsibilities far outweighs this program, because things like this will follow you forever. Things like this follow you outside of the program. So, you know, I understand that it may appear or feel as if, you know, these constant reminders about this particular responsibility is nagging, and maybe, you know, you feel like you're being picked on. However, I want you to take that energy and rechannel that energy as to the program looking out and being protective of your operation. Because sometimes in business, when things like this aren't taken care of, you have people that can literally walk in your establishment and shut you down instantly. And so there is no protection of the program when you don't do the things that you are responsible to do. So again, if financial issues are at the forefront as to why you're not able to maybe file or pay taxes, my only strong suggestion is two things. One, contact the appropriate department, whether it's IRS or whomever, to see if you can set up some sort of payment plan or some sort of acknowledgement that you acknowledge that you owe that that filing. And two, I need people to be on the forefront with me. You know, the one thing about me is that I will bat to the heavens for you, but you got to be honest with me. You got to be honest, and you have to provide me with everything, because if I feel like I'm pulling teeth, and if I feel like I'm putting way more energy in your situation than you are of your own, obviously, at the end of the day, it's going to be my thought process that you're not going to make it. You know, you're not going to make it. And it's not by me. It's just that you are not seeking the necessary help that you should be during the time of need. You know, many of you have reached out to me out throughout the years prior to even taking this position on issues, and I've always talked to you guys, and you guys know that I'm very personable and I'm very understanding, and if I can figure it out, put it on my back, you know. But I don't want people to give dribs and drabs of their issues, and if you don't feel comfortable talking to the field rep, come to me. Go to Brian. I mean, you know, the reality is someone needs to know your issues as a whole. Because if we don't, you're going to get swallowed up. And so I just say that to say, you know, during these tough times, we all understand. However, please be advised that we need to know where you stand in certain situations so we can work with you and try to figure out a way to keep you afloat, or, you know, maybe delay the responsibilities in which you are currently faced with until times get better. And who knows, we may not be able to, but at least let us, give us a shot. I think that's what I would leave that at, okay? I just wanted to say that. I think it's important. So moving on with the agenda, we have agency matters. Transfers and trainings. Well, obviously no trainings due to COVID, but we do have a transfer. That will be Tony Ford to 55 Farmington Avenue, as Ken Ramsey has retired effective September 1, 2020. So that's the only transfer I foresee at the moment. Close of the fiscal year 20, there's a couple things that I need from you all, and this should be fairly simple, and that's the business reports. You guys should be up to date with your business reports. I mean, I understand some of you operators that are actively working. I ask that you know, quickly get me those business reports in your facilities, because I have a responsibility to provide to Brian, in which I believe he has to provide to the commissioner, in specific the seasonal locations, as they asked in the past to view those numbers. So I ask that you guys please get your business report up to date, and those that facilities are not operating, I got to be honest, it's tough for me to understand why your business reports aren't in, but please do so. And for majority of you that are not operating, majority of your business reports should just be simple zeros. It should literally just be a copy and paste of the week, because you are still obligated to file that business report even if you're closed, just so it acknowledges that you were not in operation. So that's all I have with that. So due to time, it's 11:44. Let's see where we can go. Now, up next, we have the committee election. Chairman Roberts, you may take that piece, unless you'd like me to identify.
Yeah, you might as well go ahead and identify who. I did receive an email from Lori, which is what everyone has to look for. She did not list the eligible or the people that were on the ballot. It's just a blank email looking for a reply. So you're probably going to have to go down the list a couple times for people to acknowledge the four votes that they want to vote for.
Okay. All right. So certainly we can. So this year's committee nominees are Amos Fatorma, Keith Haley, Carmela Ferreira, Glenda Hernandez, Tony Ford, yep, and Angel Torres and Shelley McDermott. Angel and Shelley are allowed to resume one more year, but they still have to be revoted in. So we have seven committee nominees, and we are looking for four nominees. With that being said, I can see if Lori can resend that email acknowledging those committee members, and we can go ahead and go with the vote. This year we will have to either do it by two options. It will either be an email response to Lori St. Amon, who has no affiliation with our program, or you can call her desk line, and I can provide that phone number right now. That is 860-602-4129, and cast your vote then. Again, we are looking for a selection of four nominees out of the list. And again, that name, just to reiterate, is Amos Fatorma, Keith Haley, Carmela Ferreira, Glenda Hernandez, Tony Ford, Angel Torres, and Shelley McDermott. Would any of those potential committee nominees, like to say anything, speak in regards to why they would prefer to be elected?
Can you repeat that number again?
Yeah, it's 860-602-4129.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Actually, before we even go with that, I just thought of something. I don't believe Tony Ford was in attendance. Tony, are you on the line now? Okay. So, Tony, if I'm not mistaken, you must be present to be added on the committee, correct?
That is correct.
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. So, with that being said, we now have exactly six, and that's exactly what we need because we need four regular members and two alternates. Yes.
This is Keith Haley. He can be nominated for the committee. He just can't participate in the vote.
Okay.
You have to be present to vote for the election, but you don't have to be present to be on the ballot.
Okay.
According to the regulations that I understood.
Okay. So with that being said, we remain at seven. And Lori will resend that email. For those that want to maybe call in, I would suggest, if no one has anything to say that were the committee nominees at this time, you can certainly remove yourself if you're going to call in, cast your vote, and come back online. Chairman Roberts, do you have any additional comments here on that?
Not really. I just hope this year's committee takes their job seriously.
Okay. So we have to vote for six people, right? So, well, you're gonna select four, and then those four with the highest votes will be the regular committee, and then those two with the lowest votes will be the alternate, and that person who may have not received a vote or received the lowest vote will be cut off.
Okay, thank you, Tyrell. So we'll be waiting for an email from Lori.
Correct. That should happen shortly. So, in the presence of time, I would say those that remain on, Chairman Frank, you would like to vote? Yes.
I thought that they have to vote for six. You're saying they only vote for four? Because we need four members and two alternates.
Correct. So, from my understanding, you're going to select four, and so whomever has the highest votes will be the four that stay on the regular, and then the two. So each person's going to select an option of four out of the seven members, and that will create the total in which will be the placement as to the six needed. Is that not correct?
Yeah, there's a first alternate and a second alternate based on the amount of votes.
Correct. Okay. So at this time, I'm going to mute my phone, and I think we should certainly move.
Excuse me, Tyrell.
Yes.
Well, since you did roll call,
mm-hmm.
How many people are online?
Give me one second. Let me grab that from Lori. One moment. Okay, Shelley, it looks like we have 24 people that were in attendance.
Okay.
Not including the two, I believe, that called in from out of state.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I meant the operator.
Participating? Okay. Total, including staff, 24.
Okay.
I'm going to mute my phone because Lori had to sit close by, so I don't want to pose any conflict with that.
Yeah, if you check your emails, that other email has come.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. Chairman Roberts, in lieu of time, would you like to resume with the open forum at this time?
Sure. If anybody wants to speak about any item that hasn't been on the agenda, feel free to bring it up now.
Can I ask a question? Sure. Are we still going to get the incentive check in October for the beginning of this year? This is Carmella.
Brian, maybe, can you speak to that? Are you not muted?
Yes. Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, the, you know, for those who are eligible and had applied for the intent is certainly to process those. I think that the amounts sadly are going to be fairly reduced because of the way the incentive program works and that so many of the businesses were not open. But, you know, certainly there is the intent to process those.
Brian, for, this is Shelley. For clarification, how, what are the months that does that encompass? Like October's payment came from what period? And then I guess April's payment came from where?
It's from January to June.
Yeah, I believe that the payment would be based, that October's payment is based on January through June, and that the April payment is based on July through December.
Oh, okay, okay.
That's what I, you know, I don't have that particular screen open, but I believe that's how it works.
Oh, okay. On that again, Brian, those will be, I'm a new person with the incentive program thing. It kind of just was dropped in the bank. I wasn't really aware of it. So is there like a time frame to look for it, if, you know, type of deal, or is it by like the 21st, the 15th? How does all that stuff work? I don't really remember. I just remember last year, I think Ed was the one who told me it was there. I didn't even realize it was dropped in there.
I think that we would need Tyrell on the phone to talk about the specifics of it, and he had to step away. Maybe as soon as he comes back, we can ask him if he can maybe provide a little more detail.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Brian.
Yeah.
Is the meeting over?
No, the meeting is not over.
Okay.
People are voting right now.
Gotcha. I just stepped back in here.
Lori, whoever it was who just dialed in and hung up, would you dial in again, please?
You're saying called you to vote.
Yeah, that's what she was saying.
Yeah.